Always great to have champion trainer Chris Waller on the show, especially when he has one of the favourites in a major, and that, of course, is Young Star, heading towards the $5 million Stella Artois Caulfield Cup. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Michael. You can drop the trainer and you should be good to talk to me whether I've got a favourite or not. That's what you should say.
I always love talking to you and our punters love listening to you, but it's a bit more exciting when you've got a favourite in a Caulfield Cup, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is. It's a great race to be part of, as is most of the spring races. And yeah, we've got a well-prepared horse, good weight, good jockey, reasonable draw and ready to go.
Without doubt, your best chance to win a Caulfield Cup. You've had a few cracks before, but I think fifth's about the closest you've ever come.
Yeah, it's a pretty long fifth or sixth too, if I remember rightly. We haven't really got close, so always trying. And we've got a good hand or good horse in the race this year. And if we keep lining up with a good chance, we might win one day.
Well, she is, I suppose, the stereotypical horse for the Caulfield Cup. The four-year-old mare, lightly raced on a lightweight, 51.5 kilos, and you don't get a better form line than chasing home the superstar Winx last start. How did she come through the Turnbull, Chris?
Came through it very well, and obviously that was the most pleasing factor. Not only has she run well, but she's come through it in good shape, so her work's been very good. I haven't had to do a lot with her. She's not a big heavy horse yet, so it's been more maintenance work. And fourth run on Saturday, and done everything we possibly can.
She looks like a horse on paper, and what we've seen in Queensland as well, that the mile and a half will suit her down to the ground. Are you confident that she's going to be one of the strongest at the finish?
Yeah, I am. She's got the pedigree to back it up. There's quite a bit of staying blood in her family, and obviously being by High Chaparral. So sometimes you can see horses that are finishing off strongly and look like they'll get that next step, and then you get there and they don't. But I think when you've got the pedigree to back it up, plus she's not only run in the Oaks, she also ran in the Derby up there. She arguably should have won it. I'm not sure if it was a 7 or 14-day turnaround, but regardless, like, she's had a couple of good cracks at those types of distances, admittedly 2,200, not 2,400. She's been there, done it all in her first prep. Now she's back as an older, stronger horse. As you said, good form lines behind Winx, and the right weight, etc. So plenty of things to tick, and I guess that's why the punters have got her as one of the favourites.
We've seen her come from a long way back, especially in that win or in that unlucky third in the Derby. But we've also seen her race a bit closer, and she lobbed in front of Kingswell Dream last week and a couple of weeks ago in the Turnbull. From Barrier 9, where she'll jump from, where do you want to see her in the run?
Just where she's happy, and that's all that my instructions will be to Kieran. It's so important to have a horse in their comfort zone. And in a race like Caulfield Cup, you can easily get out of it by just trying to be too conscious about where you think you should be, because the pace will just be that quicker.
Mm.
So I'd be happy with midfield. One off the fence would be perfect. And the only reason she got back in some of the races normally because of barrier draws. So if my horse is strong wide and I want to go back, they normally have to go back to near last to get in, and that's been the case with a couple of runs. And certainly the Derby in Queensland, which probably cost her the race.
She hasn't been to Caulfield before. She had a look at the circuit on Tuesday. Is that any worry for you?
Not really. I think the Sydney horses just struggled to adjust a little bit with the firmness of the track. I'm not saying it's too firm. I'm just saying it's a big difference to Sydney. So I think that's more an issue, because I've walked the track a few times myself and certainly can't fault the way it looks and the beautiful bends and the camber of the track. So I don't really think it's an issue, and she's not a big, heavy horse, so I don't think she'll find the track too firm, as some will, especially the imports. They'll struggle a little bit. So don't see it too much of a problem.
How do you see the race as a whole?
I haven't taken any notice, to tell you the truth. There's so much form comes together, and like the Cox Plate next week, I'll be worrying about my horse. making sure she's comfortable this week and next week. And, yeah, if they're good enough, they win races, Michael.
It's hard to look ahead, but if she wins the Caulfield Cup or runs a cracking race...
Oh, yeah.
Do you think she's got 2 miles in those legs?
They normally start favourite, don't they?
Well, that's exactly right. Although you might be struggling to knock Yucatan off favouritism.
Probably know more than I do. So let's just wait till Saturday night or Sunday morning when the Sunday paper comes out and see who won the Caulfield Cup. And that'll give us a pretty good guide to who's going to get a chance in the Melbourne Cup.
You're disappointed you didn't get a run with Patrick Aaron. I saw an article you did with Matty Stewart saying that you think it should be a ballot-exempt race in the Metropolitan into a Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, of course I am. And there's lots of reasons and arguments and things like that. And look, if you turned it around and said the Golden Slipper or the Blue Diamond winner missed getting a start and the Golden Slipper, it'd be an uproar. Obviously different circumstances, but yeah, we've still got to hang in there and help each other out to some degree for the better of Australian racing and developing our stayers. And I think you could make a point for all Oaks and Derby winners or Group 1 staying runners should get a pretty good start in towards getting into those races, but probably one for another day. And I just congratulate the club for putting the race up to $5 million, because that's the problem. It's an international race now and people want to run in it, and the last few years they haven't had full fields, so you can see the club side of things. And I'm sure they don't want Patrick Aaron as an emergency either, but it's just the way it's worked out.
Final word on Young Star. Hard to be confident in a Caulfield Cup, but she's going the best she's ever been.
Yeah, can't fault her at all. No negatives at all, Michael. And yeah, it's great to be part of a big race.
Got a couple of other nice chances at Caulfield. Gee, Invincibella was impressive at Flemington.
Yes, she was. Yes. All three runs this prep have been very good. She didn't win one of them, but she was extremely unlucky. And, yeah, she was dominant at Flemington. I guess Caulfield's a little bit of a negative for her, the way she races. But to offset that, she's got a better draw. Mm. I think she's drawn about barrier six, so she might be able to seal that pair closer.
And what about our old mate Tom Melbourne? 945 days since he's had a win. He didn't have any luck in the Epsom after drawing wide. How's he going?
It's almost the amount of time Winx has been winning.
Yeah.
So maybe hopefully nothing changes for Winx's sake, but for Tom's sake, I hope it does. He's going good. He's actually freshened up well and since being in Melbourne. For whatever reason, he's been eating better and he's put on a bit of weight, and with that comes a bit of enthusiasm and a bit of spark. So obviously the draw is a big negative for him tomorrow. And another new rider aboard in Hugh Bowman, who's ridden him a couple of times at the trials. See how he goes.
Lifeless Ordinary looks like he'll be suited up to the 2000 in the Coongee.
Yeah, he just found the track a little bit firm last start. He finished fourth, but we just expect that a lot. Yeah, the 2,000 metre distance should be a plus.
And what about in Sydney? Have you got a best for our Melbourne listeners in all your runners in Sydney?
It looked pretty cool. I guess Highbridge in the he's still in the nominations for the Melbourne Cup, so he's running in a Tats Cup tomorrow, and it's going to be a pretty wet track, but he's going really well.
And I've got to ask you about the Mighty Mare Winx. Are you prepared for what will be Winx Week in Melbourne? We've got the book launch on Monday. We've got the doco, which is on racing.com on Monday night. Then breakfast with the best at Moonee Valley. It's going to be a big week.
Yes, it will be. And I'm sure there'll be a few other things in between as well. So, yeah, we're getting prepared for it. And it'll be a great day next week, Saturday. And... yeah, I'll be looking forward to the Sunday after, to tell you the truth.
Will this be the most nervous in the build-up you've been, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I'd say the second one with Hartnell was quite intense. He was coming off the back of brilliant wins in different races. And there was like the mixture of a couple of three-year-olds in there as well. And she sort of... Well, like we were still sort of in awe of where she was getting and was the first Cox Plate, a bit of a fluke, and how's she gonna win possibly win two? Not many horses have done it. So So I'd say that was, and we hadn't been in that situation before, whereas now we're sort of used to the hype that comes with her and all the fuss and the pressure, the expectation. So I don't think it's that bad at all. And we just, and look, how do you compare it to previous runs? Mm. We don't take any of them lightly, and we do get on the edge of our seats every time she runs, whether it's the first run of the prep, which is always making sure she's come back well, she's safe. And then I guess just getting her to next Saturday morning is always great to make sure she's in the best possible condition. And there's always a relief once that day comes. So when race day itself unfolds, it's out of your control. And as I said, the last few years, it'll take a champion to beat her, and she consistently runs these high ratings where others struggle at. So bring it on, I say, Michael.
Well, you mentioned the three-year-olds, No Autumn Sun. If Winx wasn't there, would you have run him?
I probably would have. Because, like, not discrediting any other horses in the race, but they probably wouldn't have a high, the horse to beat wouldn't have such a high rating.
Mm.
When I just, as I just touched on, Winx, she consistently runs these high ratings. It's not just a number plucked out of the sky or made up. It's the world highest rating of a horse. So I just think with an immature three-year-old, they can win Cox Plates, but got to be careful with who you're taking on, because the downside is what damage it does. So just like screaming up the Monash in the car on the red line, you'll get to where you want to get, but next day when you turn the car on, there mightn't be anything there. So we didn't need to find that out with the Autumn Sun taking on a horse like Winx. So look after the Autumn Sun. The owners tell me there's no rush to send him off to stud, so going to get a few more cracks with him.
Well, let's hope so, because he is the next superstar. Chris, as always, appreciate your time, mate. Best of luck tomorrow in the Caulfield Cup.
Thanks very much.